The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.
You did tonight. Never seen you shine so bright. You're Peter Beardsley. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Well, it's still Christmas.
Is it?
But it's a different part of Christmas now. You remember last time? We give it a whole noddy holder. This time, hey, it's a more laid back 1950s family round the fire listening to a Bing Crosby Christmas. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Tomorrow I'm actually going to see White Christmas.
You are?
I don't know, I'm ill.
Mum was saying.
And your mum's ill, but...
Go see White Christmas, man.
White
go
Christmas
on.
At Sunderland Empire. We've got some lovely restricted view seats.
Now, why do you want to go?
Well, because of the star power.
Yeah? Well, why don't
First
you...
First off, Jay out of The Wanted's in it. Who wouldn't want that?
Brilliant.
Secondly, mostly, because... Lorna Luft out of Grease 2 is in it.
What?
You know, off of Hey Johnny Johnny, got a bowl of strike, and I just might be your baby tonight. She's in it.
I don't actually know which part that is, mate.
Yeah, I've got some of the words and the sounds wrong.
But that'll do it.
She's Paulette in it. And she's also Judy Garland's daughter who isn't Liza Minnelli.
Oh.
And that's quite impressive, isn't it?
You're going to see some Judy Garland offspring.
Yeah. Gonna. Because of Christmas, isn't it? Which is what it is now.
It is. Merry Christmas. So I'm here Lee, it is. Merry Christmas.
I'm Lee Kyle, the fastest man on two legs. With me is Kia Kyle. Oh, he's a jaunty little boy. He's the youngest man in the world. He makes the ladies do a little lovely twirl.
I do that with me youth.
Yeah. He's happy when he's wearing a scarf. He isn't Vader, but you know that he's Darth.
Nice.
I don't know what Darth means.
That's because I'm wearing a scarf right now. It's quite cold in this studio.
Have I told you how good I am at freestyling?
No,
I'm good at freestyling. I'll do it now. Sitting here making a podcast, doing it just to make all the bods laugh. Going to talk about the popular music. Oh, that's too difficult.
Oh, mate, you've ruined it.
But, you know, you get the idea of how good it could have been.
That was good.
The thing is, I had no reason to think I was good at that. But as I was doing it...
You were like, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
You do that where you just go, I imagine I'll be brilliant at
all
this.
All the time. Often with freestyling.
I think I must be good at this. I know it's a skill that people learn in the practice, but I reckon I'll be brilliant.
I don't understand how you can learn to freestyle. Like, you just do it, don't you? It's just the flow
comes. Because it's a muscle memory, isn't it?
Muscle memory.
Yeah, well, you just keep doing... Like, a sport, innit? You do a sport more, it becomes natural. Mm. Like, that's the problem. That's why we think we agree, because we went, I don't see why you'd have to practice it. Just be brilliant.
Just be good.
But, in my head, I still... Part of me does think... And I know it isn't true, but... That if I was lined up at the Olympics 100 metres final for men, I'd have a chance.
You'd give it a good
shot. Like, I honestly think, well, look, I know I'm not as fast as them, but I would just run as fast as them. You know what I mean? I would refuse not to.
For me, it's more long distance stuff. Like, I won't slow down. Like, yeah.
Well, I do that thing. There'll be these men, and I will just fucking run. I'll run the same speed as them, and then at the end, I will run a bit faster.
But I mean, I wouldn't even do that. I'd just run fast the whole way. Like, just... Don't stop. Like, yeah, you might be in pain afterwards, but just do it. You know?
Yeah, it's a one-off, isn't it? Like, sure, over a season, they're going to beat me over 100 metres, but just a one-off.
Just like this quick burst.
How are your lungs, Lee? Getting eaten away by COVID. Do you think you can beat... Do you think you can beat the fastest man in the world? Yes, of course I do.
With ease.
Yeah. Step up, lads.
See what you've got. Train.
So what's this podcast, Kia?
So we will listen to songs...
I was hoping for more, yeah. But it
right,
is.
Listen to number two songs that didn't get to number one.
Listen to
the number one that beat them. And then we'll decide whether or not they should have got number one or it's whether they good. Were rightfully bested.
Rightfully fucked over.
However, it's Christmas, so we've got some Christmas songs.
It is Christmas. Now I'm
lovely
sorry,
bit
everyone.
Of festive cheer.
Sorry, everyone. You're going to... If you're thinking, oh, God, I've avoided listening to Last Christmas because of Whamageddon. Is that still happening?
It is, mate.
Well, about to hear it. You won't know, Kia, because I know you love that sort of shit, but we're recording this on the 30th of November.
Yeah, so I'm all good.
Fine.
I'm all good.
But Yeah, we're going to do that. And then we will decide. And it is Christmas, but it's a more languid Christmas than last time. So, yeah.
If you want to stay in Whamageddon, skip forward 20 seconds from now.
Not now, we haven't plugged the Patreon.
No, I know, I was just going to try and get them to skip, and then we'd waste time for 20 seconds. Oh, then they'd still listen to
this. Well, they
won't
listen to this anyway, will they?
Yeah, that's fine. Right.
Oh, they won't know, will they?
That's true.
Ah! Check on you, twats. We got them, good, mate. We got them. They've been Whamageddoned. Yeah, will you tell them to go to the Patreon, please? In this, but in the really languid 50s crooner style.
What? Wait, are you want us to sing or just do it like a soft
Hey, like that.
Hey, listeners. Just imagine yourself lying on a beach. Across the beach, you see a horse. With a knight riding its back.
I'm a knight.
As the horse approaches, you realise that's not a horse.
Call that a horse. This is a horse.
This is a horse. It's not a horse.
Staff that film because they're both knives on
Lee Kyle.
Just different sizes.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't make sense. The horse was Lee Kyle, and the knight was Kia Kyle, his son. As I ride on his back towards you.
Like that race we did with our one.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's
we did that race in nursery, didn't we? Where we won the dad's race because I made you get a butcher's grip.
Yeah, get a butcher's grip on, it'll be fine.
And I just fucking pegged it because I'm fast. See, I told you I win races.
You do?
Patreon.
Yeah, so we get close. We
Patreon.com.
Both whisper in an ear reach. Your ears. Not as soon as ears.
Subscribe to the Patreon. Patreon.com/Feldnout.
Loads of stuff on there.
Not just this podcast, loads of other podcasts and loads of video on demand. And kick tickets for comedy and support the future of comedy in the Northeast. Say some more stuff.
What else do you say with Patreon?
No, that's not, it's alright, isn't it?
Oh, that was kind of
sleep.
Don't sleep, listen to the podcast.
That was good, that, wasn't it?
It was well done,
I'm proud of you. So, yeah, we'll give a little taste of the songs now. Oh, and I've given them a cute slip. What we'll do is we'll put Do They Know It's Christmas on first. That's what I do in band neighbours as Wham, aren't we? Put Do They Know It's Christmas on first, and then they will think probably Wham's going to go first, so they'll
Smart.
Skip her, and then they'll
Smart.
Go Wham. It's Christmas or not?
Oh, well, it's a good point. Does it snow in Africa? You know, that's the thing. It's,
well, that's the thing about this song, isn't it?
You've got to wonder. That's
the thing about this song. First off, some of them know it's Christmas in Africa.
Yes.
Because some of them are Christians and some people just have an awareness of the world. You know what I mean? Like, some Christians, say, will know when it's Kwanzaa because they're just interested in the world.
Yeah. Know? When is Kwanzaa?
I don't know. I'm not in
this. Is it the same time as Christmas?
It's around the same time, innit? Or they will know when it's Eid, because they're just interested. So that, and also, like, it snows in some bits of Africa.
Does.
And that gets one of the problems they do. They know it's Christmas, doesn't it? It's patronising as fuck.
Yeah, it's a really tone-deaf song, isn't it?
It's been remade a few times, and they've tried to change things, but it's got a genuine flow with the song that it just is that.
Yeah.
It's, you've got to give it some credit that it was done very quickly. Midua did the music. Midua, of course, this is all Vienna podcast. Midua out of Ultravox. So we're not going to talk too much about him because one day we're going to have to do all Vienna.
We'll get
him. He did
point.
The music and it's very, and I like synthy stuff, and but this is some cheap sounding music, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So, I think some people think of this as a classic song and one of the great songs, and it's catchy.
Yeah.
But I think it's rushed. It's obviously rushed by the standards of what it is. The lyrics, I think Geldof wrote the lyrics. some really dodgy shit in there. Like, I get what he was going for with tonight, thank God it's them because of you. I get they was meant to be lucky.
Instead of you.
Yeah, but it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it's just like, oh, thank fuck it's them.
Yeah, it's I get what he was going for, but I think he missed it.
Yeah.
I just
might as well have just said, sucks to be you. Like, yeah. It's...
Yeah, it's unpleasant. Now, of course, that got a number one.
Yeah.
That got a number one. Wham's Last Christmas got a number two, and it's been, I think, a hit 18 times since then, but it's never quite got a number one. I suspect it might one day, but it certainly hasn't yet. Wham, George Michael and Andrew Ridgely. Now, there was a cliche that goes about Andrew Ridgely, which was...
get Whamageddon, bitch. Carry on.
Yeah, carry on. Grow up.
Carry on. Oh, I can't listen to a song. Carry on. Carry on.
That he didn't do anything. That's the point of Andrew Ridgely. He basically did the hand claps while George wrote all the songs and did all the music and all the singing. And I don't think it's far off. To be honest, I think Andrew Ridgely, and I think he would agree that he's had a very lucky life and he seems very happy, which is, even though I don't think he wrote any of the songs, George Michael wrote him in as a co-songwriter, or he certainly didn't write many of the songs.
Mm.
And he basically retired once Wham split up and has just spent the rest of his life just married to one of Pepsi and Shirley surfing. He seems genuinely happy as fuck.
That seems like a good life.
And that's a great life. You can go, oh, but you didn't really do anything. Like, oh, sorry, I'm just going surfing. I'm just going surfing, then I'm going to bang my pop star wife.
Sometimes you can't just relax, you know what I mean? Like,
and I've been doing it since my mid-20s.
Yeah.
Like, it's not terrible, is it? It's not bad.
He's got a good draw, like.
But you can see why eventually George went, look, I'm going to go solo.
Yeah. Like, I'm doing all this, yeah,
man. It's lovely, Andrew. Don't get us wrong. But I'm going to do... Like, it's a it's also, in terms of backing, like, the music is sort of also quite... cheap, really, and I don't think the good sort of cheap for either of these. I think a couple of years later, Last Christmas, I think would have sounded very different.
Yeah,
it's like it's got that Christmas thing of being very bittersweet. A lot of Christmas songs are that, aren't they?
Mm.
You know, Lonely This Christmas, all the greats. It's not like, but it's also Last Christmas, I Give You a Heart, the very next day you give it away. It's almost a bit spiteful. He goes, I'll give it to someone special. So it's got a nice bitterness to it. It's a very different Christmas mood to a lot of songs.
A heart's like a dog. It's not just for Christmas.
Yeah. What's the rest? It's for life, isn't it? A heart.
It's for life.
Unless you need a replacement. Which is the same with dog. If you get a dog for Christmas and it dies, get a new dog.
Get a new dog.
That's what
dog transplant.
Get a dog transplant. So I think these are both catchy.
Right? They do get in your head. They've got a sing-along factor, which is always nice.
And Band Aid has undoubted star power, although for a lot of the people in it, this was the kind of the end for them. Like, there were these massive stars of the early 80s and late 70s. They were sort of replaced fairly soon, I think.
Band-Aids are named after plaster. Like,
have you just got that?
Yeah, mental. Well, we don't call them Band-Aids here.
I suppose we don't, but it is a British song as well, isn't it? Which is, yeah.
Yeah, why do...
It's a good pun. It's a good pun, though, isn't it? Fuck off. Fuck. It's a good... Fuck off. It's a good pun, though, isn't it?
It is, no.
And Bob Geldof did that thing where he got them all in. Like, what, fucking gotta make some money, fuckers. Got them all in. Boy George, lovely singer.
Not a lovely man, though. Not a lovely man.
Got a few problems as George. Paul Weller's in there, which seems weird now. Because he's a miserable fuck, isn't he, Paul Weller? But Bono sings that bit. That everyone's like, oh, it's great, that bit. Where he's just being Bono.
Yeah, I fucking hate Bono.
They hate him in Ireland, you know.
Good.
I think people in this country assume that he's a big national hero, but they don't like Bono in Ireland.
Is it like Americans probably think that we love James Corden when really we're like, stay in America, mate. Fine.
They don't like Bono's a big tax exile, isn't he, which never really goes down well.
Yeah, fair.
Why lecturing people about charity all the time? Now, this is the angle on this song, isn't it? Do you know anything about why the song happened?
No.
Because...
I assume because there's a lot of starving African kids.
Yes, there was.
Is, unfortunately.
In Ethiopia. Now, for me, I think this song lives or dies on the charity angle, really. That's why it sold so many. You got a lot of people involved. The cover was done by the fella who did the cover of Sgt. Pepper and everything. Right. So it was a big, obviously, push. It was always going to get a number one. It was always going to, right? And I think we need to discuss the charity thing. But I think before we do that, because it's quite bleak. So
yeah, I can imagine.
Before we do that, let's go through the charts.
Come on then.
The charts for Christmas.
Bloody hell, bit of songs, even more of them.
When Lee Kyle was but 5 years old.
Oh.
Little Kyle.
I never thought you was being five before.
Oh, I was cute as a button, mate. Blonde hair, dimples, big smile.
You've still got like a cheeky little baby face, don't you?
I have got a baby face. I can imagine at the time it'd be. Baby face, but it's not. Being a cute 43-year-old isn't as good. One, Band-Aid. Obviously, they know it's Christmas?
We know
all
this.
The stars. Bono. All the stars.
All the stars.
Two, Wham. Last Christmas / Everything She Wants. No disrespect to the double A side. Nobody's interested in Everything She Wants. We're not pointless discussing it. It's not important. Three, one of the most hated songs, I think. The one that's used to beat him. I think when people want to say something negative. Paul McCartney in the Frog Chorus, We All Stand Together.
That's one thing I know, mate.
Bom, 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 hiya. Bom, 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 hiya. It's sort of a novelty kids song, really.
A lot of Paul McCartney solo stuff's fucking shit.
Yeah, but I think people kind of go, oh, Paul McCartney wrote the Frog Chorus. Yeah, but he also wrote all of those other things. You know what I mean? Like, he's always done different stuff. You kind of just go, well, he did one.
His Christmas song is boring.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great, that. But it's sort of like, Paul McCartney was always writing sort of old-fashioned music, holy stuff as well. But they were all, like, even if you were to listen to Frog Chorus, you would go, yeah, it's a novelty song, but fuck me, it is catchy.
Yeah.
Like, he's good at that. Four, four, Like a Virgin, Madonna.
Brilliant song.
Touched for the very first time. Like a Virgin. Put it in your clout. That's how it goes, right?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Fifth, Local Lads. Toy Dolls, Nelly the Elephant.
Yeah, yes, that was talking.
Come on.
Go on, a karaoke song.
Again, novelty song, but the first album I ever owned was that album.
Can I vote for that to reach number one?
Honestly, people can judge it, but the Toy Dolls, they're really fucking good. They're very tight, right? And fuck me, they're a lot of fun.
They're tight like a virgin, Madonna.
Six, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. The Power of Love, fucking belter.
I prefer the Huey Lewis and the News,
well,
Power of Love.
I'm going to say a thing now. If you're listening to this not on our Patreon, patreon.com/feltnout, we've started releasing the old podcast, Which is the Best, with myself and Sammy Dobson, which I thought were all lost. But somebody, Paul McDonald, hello Paul, if you're listening, had them all, give them to me, and we're releasing them 1 week at a time.
Nice.
There's 150 odd episodes, and what we would do was decide which was the best out of things with the same or similar names. And the first episode, which went out a few weeks ago when you're listening to this, one of the things on there was The Power of Love, where we decided between three songs, because in 1984 and 1985, those three massive hits, all called The Power of Love, and that's weird, isn't it?
So
you can listen to that, and it's a good podcast. That's better than this, man. It's fucking good, you know what I mean?
It's good stuff.
We really got in a depth on things, and, you know, quite a lot of psychosis and mental issues in the end. So there was that, Huey Lewis in the News. So you've got The Power of Love.
Yeah,
then you've got It's the Power of Love. And then there was it Jennifer Rush, I think. 'Cause I am your lady and you are my man. You know that one?
No.
It's The Power of Love, which I think was the biggest hit of them all. Big ballad. So you can listen to that. It's good, man.
Oh. I was going to ask you who won, but I won't. I'll listen to the podcast instead.
Because I can't remember. Oh, this is actually a bit of a belt and chart, you know, but in a novelty way. Seventh, Ray Parker Jr., Ghostbusters.
Brilliant. Five and seven should be one and two.
But we don't have that power, I'm afraid.
Oh, imagine Nelly the Elephant versus Ghostbusters. Now, that's an episode.
Because Ghostbusters is, if it was a song about love rather than ghostbusting, I think it's a classic of its type.
Yeah.
Paul Young at number 8, not interested. Tears for Fears. Paul Young's one of the ones who I think seemed like such a huge star and he would be forever. It was on Live Aid, and then just suddenly everyone's like, I'm done with Paul Young.
Yeah.
Tears for Fears, Shout. I don't like Tears for Fears. They're sort of bandwankers like.
Yeah, they've got some okay songs.
It's not my bag. 10, Gary Glitter, Another Rock and Roll Christmas. 11. By the way, this is true. Right, the other day, I said, I asked Alexa about some information about a song, and she went, oh, why not ask me to play songs you might like? So I did. First one up. I put, Alexa, play songs you might like. Come on. And I mean, like, you I do like Alexa. It. You do like fucking it. Hell, man. 11, I reckon you love this. I want to know what love is by Foreigner.
I want you to show me. That's all. That's all it's on.
I hate it, obviously. Nick Kershaw, 12, for the Squares. Cool in the Gang with Fresh. And then, novelty hit. He has another one we could have done on Which is the Best. Conga by Black Lace.
Nice.
Is it better than Conga by Gloria Estefan?
Oh.
Yeah. The answer is, that's a song. Absolutely not. But I'd rather do the Conga to Black Lace. Yeah. Carl Halbat's favourite band. I'm not even kidding.
Comedians have weird favourite bands.
Then what else have we got in here? We've got Shakin' Stevens with Teardrops in at 18. Alvin Stardust at 20. I've got to say, Alvin Stardust, I saw him do, I think we talked about this, didn't we? One of the best performances I've ever seen on YouTube recently.
Yes, I think you did mention this.
Oh, he was making the ladies aroused. Then we've got Spandau Ballet with Round and Round, not one of their bigger hits, obviously. We have Stevie Wonder, I Just Called to Say I Love You, famously his worst song, and sadly, probably his most famous.
Oh. Yeah.
Chaka Khan with I Feel For You, which is a fucking belt. It's the one where we'd had Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka 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 Khan at the start.
I don't know it, but I like it.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's good. Bronski Beat with Ain't Necessarily So, which we discussed Jimmy Somerville on the last one about how he's the gayest gay man.
Yeah.
And that was him doing that thing that he does. Wizard must re-release. He didn't really get Christmas re-releases as much these days, but there are 27 with I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Human League, always love the Human League at 28. Slade with All Join Hands at 29. This is when I think Slade must have had that comeback as a heavy, serious rock band. Yeah. You know, Duran Duran with Wild Boys at number 30. Grandmaster Melly Mel and the Furious Five with Step Off. Nice. Alvin Stardust in it. Two top 40 hits for Alvin Stardust in 1984. All right.
He doesn't lose it, mate. He doesn't lose it.
The Kane Gang at 33. Now, the Kane Gang are now only really known for doing the theme tune of Biker Grove.
Oh.
Ooh, Biker Grove. Ooh, Biker Grove. You know.
No, Biker. I don't know.
Oh, you're so young.
I don't know, man.
It's part of your Northeast cultural heritage.
It's down the street from us.
For the bonus episode, when we're talking about your album with MC Norris, which is going to be confusing to people, I will see if I can find a start of Biker Grove, and I'll see if I can find one which Sammy was in, who I know.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Chicago, who you probably like. Wham with Freedom. Queen, Thank God It's Christmas, which, you know, for Queen, like, you'd think they'd have had one of the bigger Christmas hits, and it wasn't really, was it?
No, I didn't even know they did a Christmas song.
Thank God It's Christmas. It doesn't really, it gets a bit of play, but not loads.
Yeah,
like, I know they had Bohemian Rhapsody, which was a Christmas song. It was not a Christmas song.
Yeah,
you'd think Queen would have one. The Never Ending Story by Lamar out of Kajagoogoo, and The Temptations at number 40 with Treat Her Like a Lady, which is good advice for any lonely boys out there. Hey guys, treat her like a lady, treat her like a lady. Take her out. Treat her nicely. Listen. Ask questions. Be a genuine guy. Then, if she consents to take you home, you're having a lovely little smooch there on the settee. If you take things one step further with all prior consent, give her a little kiss right at the top of the fanny, where the clitoris is. She'll be like, oh yeah, there's some nice kissing on the top of the fanny. Because that's where it is. Like, for any young lads out there, you're like, well, where is it? Because you meant not know. It's just at the top, innit?
I'm glad you're me main follower figure.
Yeah. it's good advice, isn't it?
It is.
You know what I mean?
It's helped me through many a dire time.
It's right at the top there.
More struggles than you'd think, you know?
It's... Yeah, because it's like, people act like it's like, oh, a woman's like bits are a mystery.
No.
Just try your hardest.
Just look up.
Oh, yeah. Or just, you know what? It's fine. Any young lads out there, or young lesbians, although you won't need the help because you've got your own to practice on. Like, it's fine to just go, do you like that? Or is there a thing that, you know what I mean? Communication is important.
Did I tell you about when I gave my innocent friend fingering advice?
Mm.
Six words, mate. Six words is all you need to know.
Don't say what I think you're going to say.
curl your fingers, jobs are gooden. It's
could have been worse.
But it, I thought it was all right, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's... Anyway.
Obviously, you can get more in-depth, but, you know, for a beginner.
But remember, guys, consent is not enough. Enthusiastic consent. That's what you need, okay?
Need, like, a head shake and violent nod and yes.
Oh, if they go, oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. That is better, isn't it?
I don't know why it's Cindy Lauper.
I
just like an aggressive nod with a worryingly bone-chilling smile. That's my go-to.
The problem is here, we've got to now segue from this to the terrible events in Ethiopia in 1884. And I don't know how to do that. So, we're not the people to be talking about this, are we? We don't know how to go on. So Michael Burke is a newsreader.
Yes.
Right. I've talked about this. I've looked into it a little bit. I don't claim to be an expert, so there is ways to fact check out here. It's a very difficult subject. Michael Burke was a newsreader. He was over and he did this harrowing report about the rains failing in Ethiopia and there being no food and no food growing. There was really horrible clips of kids, you know, like starving. It was horrific. And Bob Geldof's at home and he's like, I need to fucking do something about this. So I think with the best of intentions, he wrote this song and he got all these people together and it was huge. And this and Live Aid, and it raised a lot of money. Now, this is where it gets more complicated, because statistically the money raised did way more harm than good.
I've heard about this. Yeah, I don't remember the details, but
well, it wasn't, now there was problems with the rains, I'm not saying that, but actually it was a genocide. Now, I don't want to go too deeply in the details because I'm not an expert. I don't know. But what I do know is it's a tribal thing, and the starvation was done on purpose by the government of Ethiopia.
Right.
And they didn't really... Now, Michael Burke apparently knew this and had the opportunity to present it either as a political thing or just a natural thing. And he took the route he took, and it got more attention than it would have otherwise.
Yeah.
But it's a problematic thing because it didn't really tell the story as it happened. And what actually happened is, even though I think people did go to Bob Geldof, now hang on, look into this a bit more, what happened is they basically gave all of the money they raised, not all of the money, but a lot of the money they raised from Live Aid and Band Aid, give it to the Ethiopian government who bought more tanks.
Nice.
So there's a lot of good intentions in there. There's a lot of carelessness, and almost are the people you want heading charity fundraising events. Do you want experts more than you want the lead singer of the Boomtown Rats? That's the question, isn't it? You know, like,
I mean, from what's happened so far, I know who I'm going for.
Yeah,
from past events.
But he absolutely, I don't think he went in anything other than good intentions. But you still have to be judged by the results.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's obviously blind to this a bit, Bob Geldof. And I sort of don't blame him. Like, if I had done that and that had been the result, I'd want that not to be the result. Yeah. And anytime it's brought up, I'd be like, no, actually, we did a lot. But I think there's a lot of evidence that they didn't. And they did a lot of harm. And what it did do a lot of good for was a lot of people's careers. Like, a lot of people had a lot more hits off the back of it.
Yeah.
Including...
Definitely good for your public image, isn't it?
Yeah, and Bob Geldof then lived the rest of his life as a sort of sainted figure. You know, he did stuff like Live 8 in 2005, which I don't know if you remember. There was a lot of money owed from poor nations to rich nations. And then they did a version of this with a Dizzy Rascal rap added. And which they only really added because people went, what's this about Africa in the song?
Yeah.
Also, why is there no Africans in it? And they went, Dizzy Rascal's black. Yeah, it was that simple. Yeah, you know, there was and you'll remember what that was for, was to raise awareness. And I had a big concert at Live 8 where Pink Floyd reunited for fucking hippies and that. And Paul McCartney closed it, and Robbie Williams, and loads of big stars. Yeah. And they did it in America. And what, as a result of that, it's good now because they got rid of inequality in wealth throughout the world. So thanks for raising away awareness of that, Bob.
Yeah,
and what actually it is, in truth, re-raised awareness of Bob Geldof.
Yeah.
Which is true. So you've got this song, and then Best of Intentions, but bad results. Whereas Last Christmas is a bittersweet, lovely pop song. I don't love the recording of it. I think George's voice is very good in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does a really good job. I don't love the production of it. But I think it's fair to say it's a better song than Band-Aid.
Yeah.
But there's so many problems with Band-Aid because I know a lot of people think very fondly of it for various reasons, but it's a lot of it's white saviour shit in it.
Yeah, oh, we think that 100%, we helped. Yeah.
We think that we helped, and like, it says so much about post-colonial Britain, doesn't it? That we just went, there you go. There's some money. Are you looking at where that's going? Wait, it's the president?
Yeah, we saved the day. Yeah. What do you mean?
And it's an interesting thing that I don't know what this says, but out of all the countries in Africa, Ethiopia is the only one that was never colonised. So I don't know what that says, but I feel like it probably says something. I don't know, but it's an odd little detail, isn't it?
Yeah.
I, of course, for a few years, and I might see if I can remember this on the extra episode, did a song in my set where I took the lyrics of Do They Know It's Christmas and changed every syllable for the name of a place.
I remember that.
It was fun. I would only do it at Christmas time. There's a video of it somewhere. I would only do it at Christmas time because it only worked when there was a video played behind. So I would do it at Christmas, and it only worked when it was at clubs that had a screen. Possible screen. So I might do it this Christmas, actually.
You should.
Yeah, I'm doing the stand. New Year's runs. I might go.
Bring it back, mate. Bring it back.
Just one of the nights. I might do it on New Year.
Bring it back. Get someone to record it. Put it on TikTok. That's the sort of shit
I have got it recorded. I have already got it recorded, but I might get a newer version.
Get
it on TikTok, mate. Yeah. That's a good idea. So I might see if I can remember all the words. Might not. No one wants to hear me sing, do they?
I do. Well, you've been singing a lot of this podcast. Yeah. I don't know if anyone listens to it, but
people love my singing.
I hope people listen to a podcast. Hello, yous out there.
Of course they do. Don't.
I hope we're not screaming into the void.
Of course. Oh, that's, even if they are, we still are, aren't we? That's all this is.
Yeah, exactly.
Cry for attention at Christmas. A Geldof like cry for attention. Give me your fucking money now. That's Bob Geldof, innit? Is he Northern Irish? Yeah.
He seems like he would be.
Yeah, he is. And by the way, I fucking hate the Boomtown Rats.
I don't know anything about the
proper
lads.
Proper boring. They're sort of punk, but punk when it was just not quite punk anymore and just boring. Slightly too muso-y punk, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember when he got a number one in the charts of the I Don't Like Mondays, he ripped up a picture of John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John on stage on Top of the Pops because he knocked them off number one. And that's just, it's almost the most pathetic thing in the world.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's hard to imagine like the amount of anger that there was at the Grease soundtrack at the time, but yeah, there was. Yeah, people are just like, I'm sick of it. And you go, yeah, but don't be careful what you wish for. Geldof's coming.
Geldof's.
So I think we're going to decide.
I mean, I think it's been very
clear. We could talk a little bit more about Wham.
What about Wham?
A little bit more. They're a lot of fun, Wham.
They are.
A lot of fun. You know, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go?
Mm.
Why did the...
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
It's about that existing. Because that used to be everywhere.
We were talking about Bryan Adams about how they don't play Everything I Do For You anymore.
That recently. Used to be everywhere. Yeah, I've heard that in ages. Yeah.
It's, whereas I think you still hear some the odd Wham thing, but yeah, that's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, that's weird.
Why didn't they just call it Wake Me Up Before You Go? Like, I know it says go, go, but it feels weird to say it, doesn't it? If, like, oh, what's your favourite song? Wake Me Up Before You Go, go. Did you hear the bug? It put the boom, boom into my heart. Yeah, yeah.
Can't turn on enough about
they were huge Wham, though. They were huge. They were, like, I think they'll have been the biggest group in Britain at this time, which again sometimes that gets forgotten with some bands. Like, it's hard to remember they were bigger than E17, but it's hard, like, it's forgotten how big E17 were in the early 90s. It just doesn't, it's just busted as well. If we're talking boy bands, Busted sold an insane amount of records, and I just that seem to have left no mark. Or even bigger ones like Westlife, who had like one of the biggest runs of number ones ever, like as many as the Beatles and stuff. But no one goes, ah, the great Westlife.
Oh, yeah. I love Westlife, me.
Yeah, they would always have, like, from my memory, they would have, like, had a certain amount of fans, right?
Yeah.
Who would buy that song on the first week, it would get number one, and then just dramatically fall off. But hardly any of that songs really caught the public consciousness.
Yeah, it's like people
just
like,
had enough fans.
Picked up and were like, oh, you know what, this is good, I'll buy it.
Except maybe, I'm flying without wings. Maybe
that one. Yeah, I mean, come on.
So I'm going to go Wham.
Yeah, Wham.
Yeah. Like,
short and sweet.
I understand what you're trying, Band-Aid. And it is catchy, but a lot of people died. And like, I'm not saying that in a fun way. Like, yeah, a lot of people died.
Song's got some fun bits in, though.
Oh, yeah, it's catchy.
There's a weird breakdown bit, I don't really like. Here's to you. Fuck off. Don't care about that bit. But the
I quite like the breakdown, to be honest. Spare a thought this Yule time for the deprived. If the tables were turned, would you survive? That was the Dizzy Rascal.
I guess me.
You didn't have to be. Help. Hang on. Then there's another bit.
How does a white man like you have so much urban blood?
I've got like a lot of flow. I think I do. Every time I'm going to rap, I think it's going to sound good this time. Anyway, everybody, patreon.com/feltnout, where we will be discussing. I will be trying to remember the words for my version of "The It's Christmas," and we will be discussing Kia's album, which I think is still available on Bandcamp.
I think so, eh? Which... I haven't taken it down.
Why would you? I think it might be the best and worst thing anyone's ever made. So, see you later, everybody.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
That was a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.